Hey, guys. Good morning. Good morning, my friends, and welcome back to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys had a fantastic weekend. Things kind of rolled from Christmas Eve to Christmas to Friday to the weekend to back at Monday and now New Year's. We're trying to close up a lot of end-of-year stuff now with the office and with the podcast and getting everything dialed in and ready to roll in 2026. So I hope you guys are too. And be sure, check out the podcast show, thebrowershow.com, every day, bringing you the latest episodes right to your front door or your inbox. You can go on the updates right here, put your email in, put your name, sign up for if you want to join the Brower Show and Health Masters. I recommend both. The Health Masters news, basically email list, gets you all different specials that we're doing, like the 12 days of Christmas. It's over now, but you guys enjoyed that. And a lot of people have been sending me different emails, updating me on things they've been doing over Christmas. So I appreciate the updates from my listeners and Health Masters family. Really do appreciate you. We couldn't have done it this year with 2025. Wild year for news, wild news for health. As far as wild year for health, and thank you guys so much for continuing to make us your number one stop and shop for all your supplement needs. I really do appreciate that.
And thank you so much for watching the Ted and Austin Brower Show on a daily basis. That means the world to us, because if you guys weren't here, we wouldn't be here.
We'd just be talking to ourselves.
Yeah. You know, trying to get through,
you already do.
Trying to get through the holidays without killing each other, right? And so you guys just, we love you, and we really, really appreciate you. But, you know, I don't know if an article came out on the Daily Mail this week. It said, experts pinpoint the perfect amount of exercise and sleep to reduce the risk of illness and early death.
That's interesting.
And since we are health masters and a health show, why don't we lead with a story today?
There we go.
Getting the balance right between sleep and exercise can play a crucial role in protecting against illness and early death, scientists say. New research suggests there's a sweet spot where the two overlap and that more sleep is not always better when it comes to staying active. And I thought that was interesting. In a large international study, researchers found that people who slept for around 6 to 7 hours a night tended to clock the highest number of steps the following day, while those sleeping longer were less active.
There you go.
So what they're saying is if you turn into a slug and you want to lay in bed all day, every day, you're not going to exercise much.
No, you're not.
That's a fact, too, by the way. The study led by the scientists at Flinders University in Australia, published in the Journal of Communications Medicine, analyzed data of more than 70,000 adults across nearly 250 locations worldwide, tracked over 3.5 years. Participants used consumer sleep trackers and fitness devices, allowing researchers to monitor sleep duration and daily step count. Those who slept for around 6 hours a day walked the most, logging more than 340 more steps the next day. 340 steps is not much.
That's really not much at all.
Even those who slept for 7 hours took around 237 more steps than 8-hour sleepers. When researchers plotted sleep against activity, they found a U-shaped curve with both too little sleep under 6 hours, too much sleep over 8 hours linked to fewer steps the next day. This study is getting kind of squirrely. The findings are significant because they both short sleep and physical activity are independently associated with higher risks of heart disease, diabetes, obesity, depression, inflammation, and all-cause mortality. Previous research suggests walking around 8,000 steps a day, and there you go, is enough to reduce the risk of heart disease and early death, challenging the long-held 10,000-step target. Yet the new analysis shows how difficult it is for people to hit both recommended sleep and activity levels. You know, it's interesting. I knew this lady over in Orlando, Austin, and she used to walk 5 miles a day.
Probably pretty healthy.
She was in great shape. The problem was she had no time for anything else.
Oh, no. 5 miles, especially walking, they'll burn up some.
It was 4 to 5 hours a day, 3 to 4 hours, 5 hours a day that she would spend walking every single day. And her entire life was basically walking and sleeping and eating and doing your business. Nothing
else. Pretty healthy, though. Sounds like she's like a professional bodybuilder.
Well, but
eat, sleep, train, repeat.
Well, the problem with this is this. Now they're telling you that you have to walk 10,000 steps a day. Here's what I've learned in working out, and this is the thing, the balance that we kind of found now in the gym. I try to sleep from like 11 to 7, which is 6, 7, 8 hours a day.
Right.
Okay, that's what I try to do. It's really easy. By the way, that mushroom complex is still working really well for me as far as me keeping
it. It has been working very well with a lot of customers, too. I like getting feedback from it. And thank you, guys. I've told you guys this before. Thank you for leaving reviews on the products, like the mushroom complex or anything. I love getting feedback. It helps me understand how everybody's enjoying the product, what response you're getting from the product, and also knows how we can tweak stuff and also look at it in the future.
So but right. I do that with a melatonin, and I take, of course, the calcium, you know, glycinate, and I take the, I'm sorry, the
calcium,
magnesium.
Whoa.
I take no calcium. I take the magnesium capsules and the powdered, you know, brain food. Every single night when I go to bed, and it really makes me sleep well. And I've really noticed that the mushroom complex has really, really stepped that up. So I take three of the mushroom complex a night. And now sometimes I'll only get 7 hours worth of sleep. I'm okay with that too. But when I start getting down to 6 hours of sleep, I don't feel good the next day. I really don't. And my energy levels just aren't there. And I don't feel like working out. So what they're saying here is if you don't get enough sleep, you're not going to want to work out. That's what they're saying. But they say if you get too much sleep, you're not going to want to work out either. Because I think, there's a sweet spot. And my sweet spot is between 6 and 7, about 7 to 8 hours a night. And then I try to do at least 5 minutes of cardio. That's all. That's like walking a quarter of a mile. Okay. And then I also do deep knee bends now. You think, well, what do you mean deep knee bends? Well, what I do, Van and I start doing legs 6 days a week, basically, because we're doing cardio every single day. We'll do 5 minutes of round trampoline, mini trampoline. That's great for blood pressure and circulation. And then 5 minutes of cardio. That's it. Because a lot of people say, well, you need to be doing at least 2 hours worth of cardio a day. Well, you're not going to do anything else besides cardio. Your cortisol is going to be so high, you're not going to want to work out anyhow. That's what I've learned. Okay. So I take about 5 minutes of trampoline, 5 minutes of the treadmill. And then we go ahead and then we switch. We're doing something a little different now. We do calves every single day because that stretches out that Achilles tendon, stretches out the hamstrings. Very important to stretch doing calves because I found out that I was having knee issues when I wasn't doing stretching. I thought my left knee was having problems. It wasn't. As I wasn't stretching enough on my Achilles tendon. So we do calves every day. We do treadmill every day, and we do the round trampoline every day. But we added one more thing to it. Now, be very careful with this one, all right? We do basically no weight deep knee bends. You think, why would you do that? Because I wasn't stretching enough. The other day I was up in the attic. Now, don't send me letters. I know I'm not supposed to be in the attic. I got that, right?
The only time of the year you can be in the attic in Florida.
I was had to do some stuff with a hot water heater up there that should never have been put in the attic. And so what happened is I had to do a deep knee bend and stand up in the attic and getting off the ladder, and I felt it. I said, wait a minute, this is not as easy as it's supposed to be because it was on one leg. If you can do a deep knee bend on one leg, that's a serious deep knee bend. Okay. And so I thought, then my knee was still hurting a little bit on deep knee bend. I said, well, I'm going to start doing some deep knee squats. You know, like they used to call them rocking chairs in high school or elementary school. We did that. You know, you touch your toes, then you bend your knees all the way down and come back up. And I thought, we're going to start doing that. So we've added those to it. Now, be careful, though. If you only do half a squat or whatever without too much pain, don't. Just be careful with these. You may want to check with your doctor if he wants you to have that type of mobility. But it's very, very important. And Austin, I tell you what, last night I was doing some stretches. My knees felt great. But I'm not using any weight on those squats. Don't do that. This is just body weight stuff. And you can build up from like 4 or 5 reps to 10 reps to 15 reps to 25 reps. Watch your heart, though, because you will start – when you start doing those full deep knee bends, your heart will start pumping for you. And so just be really, really, really careful with it. And, you know, and as we go into the new year, because I'm up 3 pounds from the holidays, joy, joy, right? You have to understand that there's a certain point that, you know, we've got to get serious about eating again.
Yeah. Getting through the whole rigmarole.
Oh, well, we had here
Thanksgiving.
We had Christmas here, you know, and I mean, I bought some, you know, organic ice cream.
Oh, it was good.
Yeah, I know, but boy, I wish I hadn't brought that home.
Fresh whipping cream.
Oh, yeah. But the whole thing is that, you know, the average American gains like 8 pounds over the holidays. Thank goodness I didn't do that.
Really? Really?
Yeah, but I gained like 3, and I'm like, this is perfect. I got on the scale this morning, and I said, well, that's just great.
Granted, I'm still super young. I'm a kid still. You know,
you're almost 40, bud.
I know, but I still feel like a kid, honestly, most of the time. But I've realized if you maintain, you don't, as long as you keep it within check and you don't let it go berserk, I usually fluctuate around 205, 210. It's a good range to be around for me. I still stay strong. But what happens a lot of times, like you said, you have to check the weight on a regular basis because, you know, all of a sudden it's like, well, I'm 215. Well, I've been eating too much ice cream. I was 220. Well, unless I'm on a bulking diet, I'm staying really lean still. I don't need to be at 230, 240 anymore. It's just not, I'm not my 20s. And that's the problem is a lot of people, they kind of go, well, Thanksgiving's here and Christmas's here and New Year's here. And they don't watch it. They don't look at anything. And then all of a sudden, like, gosh, I gain 10, 12, 15, 20 pounds in a month. That's okay as long as you change your diet back and start increasing your basically cardio and drop your caloric intake in January if that's what you want to do. The issue, and I've noticed this, I actually read a study on a while back ago. I didn't save it, though, but it was saying the vast majority of the weight gain with Americans is at the end of the year, just like he said. However, here's the problem. Most Americans don't drop it. So they go up 8 pounds. Say you fluctuate pretty good throughout the year. Stay pretty good. December, you gain 8 pounds. You don't drop it. Next year, you gain 8 pounds. Well, in 10 years, that's 80 pounds.
Happens all the time. Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, you're like, gosh, I'm not 30. I'm 40 now. And I'm not 205. I'm 285.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. How'd that happen? It's small, incremental, continual bad eating habits, little by little by little, and not maintaining and managing basically weight and exercise and caloric intake properly.
Well, like this morning, I mean, I'm cut way back, you know, as far as intake. I mean,
I've been on a straight egg diet all weekend.
Well, I'll be down these 3 pounds within 3 days. I know I will.
Well, one thing I'll tell you guys is, and this is kind of just a little hack that I learned a long time ago. If you want to burn body fat really, really quick and not lose hardly any muscle at all, go on an egg and GHI fast for like 2 or 3 days. And it's not a fast. I know that someone sent me emails on it. If you're eating eggs, you're going into full ketosis because you're eating no carbohydrates. You're drinking GHI cleanse. You're detoxifying the liver. You're getting the fat out of the liver. You're getting basically toxins out of your body. You'll actually feel really good. You'll lose almost no muscle mass, and you'll still drop anywhere from 1 to 2 to 3 pounds pretty quick. Mm-hmm. I've done that numerous times. Eggs and GHI, done. And you feel good. You feel good on it. But again, there's so many ways to do things properly without having to constantly do all these crazy drugs now. We talked about it last week. And
we
now
covered this last week. Now here
getting,
it is.
It's getting full rollout now. The pill version of Wegovy, or basically Ozempic, is being approved by U.S. regulators now and is getting ready to hit market.
I'd like to know who these people are, and I'd like to know who they work for and who they're going to work for. This is something that I cannot believe has happened because of what may happen with the liver.
Yep. Making an oral version of so-called skinny jabs being available for the first time as the FDA has approved the Scandinavian pharmaceutical company Novo Nordisk for the new drug Zepbound. Novo Nordisk makes Wegovy and Ozempic, so they're making an oral version now. They said it should be here in the next few months. Both pills are GLP-1 drugs. They're originally, and they say right here, they were made originally to treat diabetes. They were never designed to be used for weight loss. However, they were repurposed for weight loss effects once it was discovered. I don't believe that, in my opinion. This is just my opinion. The research that I've done on it, they knew what these drugs were going to do from the beginning. They marketed them as diabetes drugs to get them to market, and then they did a massive rollout immediately after that and started doing direct-to-consumer marketing through doctor's offices and through paid advertisements with celebrities to bring these to the weight loss center because they were never promoted as that when they got approved by the FDA. No discussion was ever brought up. If you look at the research,
but this happens all the time, though. People
it does.
Get, people, products
off.
Get approved for one use, and then they use an off use. There are off-booked usage.
Yep.
And so these products, as far as I'm concerned, should never have been approved for weight loss. That's not what their intent was.
They were diabetes drugs, but then they use off-box label. And then they start using paid advertisers, celebrity. Why do you think all the celebrities suddenly started raving and ranting about it? And you saw all the social media. The social media push with GLP-1s and Ozempic was beyond what I've ever seen with a pharmaceutical drug, basically blitz. And they did it. And I brought it up 3 years ago. I said, why in the world is this getting so much traction? It's very simple. The pharmaceutical companies got the social media influencers to push their product. And they paid them in a lot of cases. Happens all the time. Never happened on this level, but now we're having oral versions of this. The problem with these drugs, and you know this as well as I do, a lot of times they end up being extremely liver toxic long term.
Almost all of them.
I mean, here's the problem. Here's the issue that I have. GLP-1s with Novo Nordisk and Ozempic is in a multi-billion dollar lawsuit right now. Multi-billion dollar lawsuit.
Multiple plaintiffs.
Pancreatitis. Thyroid cancer. I've gone over in general. They said Novo Nordisk has designed the pill to prevent the drug from being broken down in the stomach before it can be absorbed in the bloodstream. They add an ingredient to protect the medication 30 minutes in the gut and make it pass through the liver. The only way you make that happen is the drug has to be extremely hepatic toxic. It's got to be toxic to the liver in order to pass through it. That's the only way to make it happen. This is how they do with a lot of drugs. And so, again, be aware of this. A lot of things you can do from a health standpoint, nutrition standpoint, we just talked about it, diet standpoint, to control your weight.
Well, remember, within 5 years, drugs that have been approved, such as these drugs and other types of drugs, either have their warning labels changed or pulled off the market. 50% of them, by the way.
Or black box warnings, which I think is probably going to get
50% of the drugs that are approved are either pulled off the market or have warning labels changed, including black box warnings. And it's unbelievable what's happening here. And so, again, the reason for this is it's going to be a lot less money than injections. It really is. They're saying $149.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a lot cheaper, they said.
And so what they're doing is they're trying to capitalize on a much lower cost product like this. And there are a lot of people out there who don't like needles are going to start taking this product.
That's exactly right.
Because I don't like needles either. I mean, who likes needles, right? They're awful. By the way, is there anything real anymore? This is an interesting article. So we've talked about this before. In 2025, even sports fans are starting to doubt if the games that they are betting on with all of this online betting are even real. Now, I'm going to say something to you guys. This is really important that you understand this. Almost all professional sports, in my opinion, are controlled via the mafia and online betting and basically organized crime, primarily out of Vegas. And now it's in line, online, in almost every single state. One quote says, it's evil, but it's like the MLB commissioner said in November 2012, the dangers of gambling. It creates doubt and destroys your sport. Gambling, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said the same week, when asked about threats to pro football's integrity, would be number one on my list. Well, the sad part about this is I remember I told you guys this, Van Green, my workout partner, told me I could go on record with him about this. When he got out of the NFL after playing for 4 years for Cleveland and for Buffalo, one of the people, not part of the NFL, but one of the people outside of the NFL, recruited him to run bets. This is out of his words, not mine.
This is way before online gambling.
And this is 30, 40 years ago. Yeah. And they wanted him to fly around the country and do this because that wasn't legal in all the states. We didn't have online gambling. So he was going to be the person, and he told them, they warned him. They said, don't let any of your friends bet because all these games are rigged and set up, period. And he was like, wow. And Van just said, no, I'm not interested. Van's a full-blown, you know, pastor now. He has his own church. But he's told me that this stuff's been going on for a long, long, long time. I mean, you think about it for a second. You got Vegas out there betting on everything. I mean, everything. You know, betting if Donald Trump's going to have a good hair day, right? You can bet on everything.
No, the online betting now is obscene.
No,
it's just insane.
No, it's crazy. So what happens is, you know, suddenly, you know, they've got a big bet on the Super Bowl, and there are billions of dollars involved. Billions. Now, we're talking global betting here. Billions of dollars involved, and it's all being run through organized crime. Do you really think they're not going to try to fix the game so they can hedge their bets and they can make sure they don't lose money?
They're not going to slip a bonus to the quarterback or to a ref to make sure the game spread stays what they need
to
be.
Well, remember, the NFL is licensed as basically entertainment. Now, it's like professional wrestling. If you think that the professional wrestling rings and all the people that are wrestling, you know, when you know, Hulk Hogan's versing Andre the Giant way back when, if you don't think that that's been rigged and set up, then you're not paying attention. It's just entertainment.
It was good entertainment.
And no, it's great entertainment. They're filling stadium.
93,000 people that
stadium.
Yeah, with Hulk Hogan back then. That was crazy. That was pre-internet, pre-everything.
My gosh. I mean,
WrestleMania.
And, you know, and it's still huge.
It's still huge.
And so the thing about it is, if you think that they're not going to stage certain things or have certain outcomes, you're not paying attention to what's going on. So why in the world are you going to get into a big frenzy about your sports team and, oh, I'm going to hang my flags outside, and if my neighbors say anything, well, I'm getting in a fight. Well, no, they're Austin.
Oh, I know.
This happens, especially up there around Philadelphia. You guys are crazy.
Philly's wild.
Well, you guys are nuts, man.
But the thing about this is what the gambling industry has done, and they've done this now with college ball now, too.
Oh, yeah.
College ball's not exempt from it.
We saw that ourselves.
Yeah, we blatantly saw it, is that they use and they manipulate off people's emotions with games. Mm. This is my team. It's why I identify
this
with.
This was Edward Bernays in marketing that he did on how to control the psyche of the human person.
Get people to identify with certain things, certain brands, certain items, certain groups, certain teams, and then you run off their psyche and you manipulate them based off their emotional control.
Well, here's why. You go to work, you get yelled at by your boss. And you go, that's awful. You go home, you get yelled at by your wife. Sorry. You go home, you get yelled at by your husband.
By your kids, too.
By your brat.
Brat kids.
Your brat kids that you had no idea was going to be a nightmare to take care of. And so you got this constant conflict going on, and you're always feeling like you're a loser.
It happens.
And you're like, oh, God, my life is awful. And you don't even realize that you're creating your own life by the words that you speak.
That's exactly right. Okay? And your behavior patterns.
Suddenly you identify with the sports team. Well, no longer a loser. I'm a Seminole. I'm a Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
Hoorah.
Hoorah. You know, and now all of a sudden it's like, my team is on the field. Look at my team.
Yeah.
And you sit there and you go, yeah, look at me. Look at me. I'm a Buccaneer. And now you feel like a winner again. It's emotional control of your psychological well-being is what it is. And suddenly you're not having to identify with your brat children anymore. Or your bad marriage or your horrible job, now you're a winner because you're a Buccaneer. And all of a sudden, like, your whole life gets invested in it. I can tell you there are people out there that can tell you who won Major League Baseball, who the pitchers were, what their doggone score was, and what kind of batting average they had from 50 years ago.
It's pretty wild. You know, I had a conversation.
No, they really are. Like, there are people like that.
I talked to a buddy of mine. I've known him for years, but I don't talk to him a lot. But I was talking to him a while back ago. I'd run into him. And he was telling me about this NFL fantasy draft, which I don't know much about it, but it's basically like this online fantasy, and you get to have a team, and you get to trade players with everybody. And he was like, "Yeah, and I got $100-$200 tied up in this," and he was doing all of it. And then he goes, "Yeah, well, so and so threw this, you know, 2002, they did this and this and this." And this is kind of a rude comment. I probably should rephrase it better. I did kind of try to restructure it later, and I told him he was talking about he was having issues with it. You know, he was working for a company and he was having all these issues with this and this and this. Being very negative, kind of like what Dad was talking about. And I'm not saying everybody falls in that category that watches football. Understand what I'm saying? And I looked at him, I said, you know, if you really focused your directions, you got a great memory. You're super smart with this stuff. You got like photographic memory. I said, if you focused this energy into another company or a business or a relationship, you'd probably be super successful at it. And he got mad. What do you mean? Oh, I'm just NFL draft. I said, I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying, you're telling me all these issues.
You said that to him? Oh,
yeah.
I bet he got pissed.
He did. I didn't mean it that way, but it was like, I'm sitting there going, you're complaining about stuff. I'm listening to you. You acting like you're wanting advice. And so I'm kind of like, hey, why don't you focus this energy and direction, this photographic memory in another direction, like starting a company or doing more for the business or some relationship, instead of being obsessed every single day in and day out of this NFL fantasy draft. And, I haven't spoken to him since.
Yeah, I'm sure. There's a movie that came out a few years ago. It was called Trouble with a Curve.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not recommending the movie because some of the language in that's really, really bad. And it starred Clint Eastwood, Amy Adams, and Justin Timberlake.
It's actually a good movie.
And it's actually a good movie, but the language is horrible. And I remember Amy Adams and, you know, Justin Timberlake would go against each other and have like a little test of who knew the most.
Yeah.
And they would come up with these obscure facts about who the major league pitcher was in the World Series in 1912.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, it was crazy. And they now you say, well, that was just a movie. There are people that are really like that. And it's like Austin said, if you spent all of your time and all of your life majoring in that kind of stuff and focusing on that, unless you're going to be working, you know, in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, you're a pro recruiter. I get it. If those guys are like that, I got it.
Or you're a commentator.
Yeah.
You know, you're
doing
your job. And you can come up with all these little trivia facts. Like right now with me and Austin, we can come up with all kinds of trivia facts about a broad variety of stuff.
A lot of health.
Because we're doing a podcast, right? And so if you're going to have something like that and you can capitalize it and make it monetized.
Start a professional podcast as far as talking about games.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And that's what I meant to tell him. My presentation was just really bad with him.
You had a bad presentation.
Yeah.
not awesome.
I can admit when I'm wrong. Sometimes I'm sloppy with stuff. I try to be good. But again, like I said, why don't you start a podcast on pro ball?
Yeah.
There you go. Start taking that. Start focusing that in a different direction.
Well, the biggest problem, because there are all these people starting podcasts.
I know.
And the hardest thing to do with a podcast is to monetize it.
Well, a good podcast takes a lot of money. It's not cheap. Oh. If you want to go, now you can go sit and do a, you know, a Zoom button and talk to your laptop for 30 minutes. Nobody wants to watch you singular face, you know, for 30 minutes.
That's true. But anyhow, but that's the thing that we need to realize. Oh, by the way, silver yesterday.
Oh, my
I talked
gosh.
To one of my friends. It was trading for $95 an ounce on the street in Singapore, supposedly. I wasn't
overnight, there. Overnight, the futures hit 83 just on the paper desk.
Well, you know, this kind of reminds me of when the Hunt brothers kind of tried to take over the silver market way back when. And then about 20 years ago, when it shot up to over $30 an ounce. All of this stuff is going to be manipulated through naked shorts. Now, what's the problem they have is, we don't have the ability to manufacture enough silver for the needs of the United States, especially with the AI data centers we're building and all the batteries now they're trying to come. All this different stuff with silver. Silver is an industrial metal. It really is. It's used for manufacturing and, you know, even with solar panels, silver, silver, silver. And so the problem that we're running into now is that we don't have the ability to manufacture enough silver in the United States for our own needs. No. And Russia has a huge amount of stored silver. China has a huge amount of stored silver. And now they can't fill the contracts on the COMEX in metals, which they changed that law years ago, which allowed them to fill the contracts in money, fiat currency. So if they ever get rid of the whole thing that people say, I want to have the actual silver delivered to me, you're going to see a big change.
Well, it's, I mean, last night, like I said, hit 82 on overnight trading. I watched it. I saw, I was like, gosh, this is going nuts. It's 79 on Friday. What's happening right now, this is a little bit of tidbit. I explained this the other day because I have a buddy who runs a very, very large electrician company in Orlando. And he said what's happening now is contractors, as normal, per certain, you know, contracts they're putting bids in, they're having to say, hey, guess what? We're putting this new AI data center in Orlando, which they are. So put an AI data center in Lakeland, which they are. Contractor comes in and they're putting bids out because they're trying to bid the job, so they're trying to get bids on their own. They say, hey, we need 500,000 kilograms of silver. Well, here's the thing. They're not speculators on the market trying to do paper shorts. They're saying, I need 500,000 kilograms of silver delivered to XX site for the AI data center. So all of a sudden, they say, okay, well, here's your bid number on it. Here's what the spot price is. Then they come back and say, okay, order it. Here's a wire transfer. It's coming through. What do you mean you need 500,000 kilos of silver? I need 500,000 kilos of silver delivered in 90 days. Oh, well, we can't get it for that price. What price can you get it for? Well, spot 72, we're looking at 85, 86 if you want full delivery of metals. That's what's happening right now. You can't even get it for spot. You can't buy an ounce of silver for $72 right now, and actually in any large quantities. And so that's going to continue to happen. You're going to see price contractions like it did this morning. But they're not going to stay like this. I personally, just my opinion, not giving financial advice, I personally expect to see $100 an ounce silver by next year very easily. It may recorrect again. They come back down, but I feel like we're going to knock on that door.
Well, remember, the Weimar Republic, the only people that survived that mess in Germany in the 1920s were the people that invested in precious metals and blue chip stocks, period. They didn't have the ability to survive it using currency. My mom said that she used to carry a wheelbarrow load of money to the bakery, and it was 40 billion marks for one loaf of bread.
Oh, yeah.
This is, by the way, from her mouth to my ears. I mean, this is not something I read about. My mom told me that she was there. She was born in 1916 in Germany. And the crazy part about it is that, you know, she talked about how she called it the black market economy, where cigarettes and nylon stockings and liquor and all that kind of stuff held really strong value, and they had all had gardens in their backyard, Austin,
yep,
where they were growing their own food. And there was an underground economy that emerged because the money wasn't worth anything. Now think about that for a second. If that happened here in the United States, we have been so poisoned with chemtrails, with aluminum and barium, most stuff won't even grow. Trying to grow a garden in Florida is a nightmare now. Just to let you know that between the heat and everything else, it's just a mess because the soils have been contaminated with aluminum and barium.
1923, Weimar Republic, Duisburg, 1 billion mark.
Yeah. And my mom said they would actually take the money like this and they would burn it in the furnace in the house to keep the house.
It was worth more because the firewood cost you more money.
It did. It cost more money than the paper. And that's how they monetized the debt from the Weimar Republic and what happened with World War One. And the international banking cartels are the one who did this to Germany with the Weimar Republic. And they're the ones that forced this whole war. Remember, Germany didn't even start World War One. That's the whole craziest thing with Austria and Archduke Ferdinand and Serbia and all that. But Germany got stuck paying the bill. And it bankrupted Germany is what it did. And then they hyperinflated the currency. And all of a sudden, it was a giant nightmare in Europe because of this.
We saw the same thing with, like, with Zimbabwe. Right? I'm sure I know it's trillion. They got $1 trillion bill.
Well, because nobody wants it.
It's worth like $1.10 or something.
I mean, I remember I was in Buenos Aires years ago, and I remember we were going on a cruise down there. And we spent like 3 days in Buenos Aires, and we ended up, they were giving us X amount of, like, let me give just the math here. They'd give me like 10 to 1 on the pesos or whatever it was. Yeah. You go on the street, you'd get 15 to 1 or 20 to 1.
Yeah.
Because the hotel would not give you the actual value of the dollar versus the peso or whatever the Argentine currency is called. I think it's peso. And what ended up happening is it got to the point where, you know, it was better, easier to go to a street vendor. It was so funny. Walking down the street, and the guy goes, you need to trade some currency? I said, well, I can get a few dollars here and there. And he goes, okay. He goes, follow me. And I said, follow you. I remember I had all three of the young kids with us and sharing with us. There were like five of us. And so he takes us up these set of stairs, this really nice building. Then we get around the corner, and he goes down a set of stairs into a black Oblivion hallway. Black. There's no lights on. You come down here, we'll exchange your currency. I said, dude, you must think I'm nuts. I'm not going anywhere with you. Let's just step back out on the street in the bright light. He wouldn't do it. Wouldn't do it. So I learned very quickly that when you get into third world countries like that, then I found out the lady that had come into, who was staying in the hotel, got knocked in the head doing that. And she came in all bloody. And so you start to understand that these guys are out there, and they, when the currency goes to nothing, they all start panicking.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I remember Mark Rutland told me one time he was in Argentina, and they moved the decimal point on the currency. Now 100 is worth 10. Boom, that fast. One day. Not finished.
Why do you think they push for digital currency so bad?
You know, Switzerland did that about 20 years ago. About 18, 20 years ago, Switzerland did that. They devalued their currency by 10%.
Yeah.
Because they said they couldn't compete on the international markets because the Swiss franc was so strong. So be very careful when you get into this trading of currencies, because the countries can do whatever they want to do. And the people that basically, let's say you had $100,000 in Switzerland, and now all of a sudden you lost $10,000. Boom, down. It's just like the watch. Or if you had $1 million in Switzerland, you just lost $100,000. And there's nothing you could do about it. They just devalued it. And so be very, very careful. That's why the gold and silver, like I said, that's in the Weimar Republic, held its value.
Well, that's why you're seeing gold and silver go at such an exponential pace. I mean, silver year-to-date is up like 160%.
Crazy.
Crazy. Because what people are realizing is you can't – cash doesn't mean anything anymore for the most part as far as the value of it. And that's why so many people are also – and I got an article here I'm going to cover in a second, what's going on with the grocery stores, why the food is getting so expensive. Okay.
Cover it now.
It's not inflation. Well, yeah. So this ties into what I'm talking about here. This is a positive note. But they're saying now more and more people are going on SNAP, even legitimate, because it's getting so hard to pay for groceries. But now what they're doing, and I do agree with this, junk food bans are going in effect starting 2026. They said more than a third of states will prohibit the purchase of certain foods, and states will shoulder more of the program's administrative cost. And all the country now, these are the main states that are changing this, Florida is banning all sweet beverages, candy, and processed foods as far as with SNAPs.
Okay, that's good.
This, and people can have their opinion on this all they want. It's my thing. If you're taking taxpayer dollars because you need support, your kids are hungry, or you're hungry, or you're going through a tough time, I'm okay with that. You need help, we got your back. However, it needs to have limitations to it. This concept that, like, oh, we're just going to give everybody free money so they can pay for and buy whatever they want. When you look, and I personally watched this, when you watch people, they're going in, they're buying with EBT or SNAP, and their entire cart's full of sodas and Krispy Kreme donuts and a bunch of junk food. You got to ask yourself the question, are we really doing the best for society? Are we really trying to support these people? Because quite frankly, all they're eating is empty sugar, high fructose corn syrup. That in turn is going to cause more health problems. That in turn is going to cause more issues and more expenses with premiums at healthcare and hospitals. So why don't we allow them to get this food they need, but restrict it to certain food items that are actually going to maintain and benefit health? That's my stance on it.
Well, if you're giving people food that's going to make them sick and feed the dog on, you know, medical industrial complex as far as sickness and disease, what are you really doing for the person?
Exactly.
And the problem that we have, though, is all these manufacturers of all this junk food are going to get mad about this now because they're the ones that are surviving off the SNAP
program. Oh, they are. And that, there's discussions about that in this article, how a lot of these costs and expenses and all that are going directly to the big, basically these big ag companies. All these companies that manufacture all this food, they're living off SNAP programs. They're making billions of dollars a year in aggregate off all these SNAP programs because they're – most of the people that are buying the food are buying it with that.
Well, and you think about it too, and I'm not picking on anybody here, but you know, a study came out a couple of years ago said the people who vaccinate their children the most are the ones that never went to college.
That's interesting.
And you think, well, that's a terrible statement to make. Well, no, it's just a true statement to make. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. It's just what it is. And the reason for that, the person who becomes more and more and more educated concerning anything, including junk food or SNAP programs or whatever, or ding-dongs cook. If you know a ding-dong doesn't really go bad or a cupcake doesn't go bad and you can see it in a wrapper 20 years later, looks the same, Why do you want to eat that if nothing else wants to eat it? I mean, even the bacteria don't want to eat it. I mean, what are you thinking you're going to do with it in your body? And so when you start seeing studies like this, you start reading stuff like this, or you start listening to the Ted and Austin Brower Show, and you start to get educated. And what is it? I think Zig Ziglar said one time, he said, if you listen to audio cassette tapes like an hour a day, after like 4 years, it's equivalent of a 4-year degree as far as educational knowledge.
If it's good stuff.
If it's good stuff.
Yeah. Like Ziglar, Rohn.
Yeah, because you're learning stuff. Now, the stuff that's just junk, I mean, what's the point of putting that out of your mind anyhow? No. But the thing about it is they're saying now that, you know, if you basically are well-educated, you don't want to put these vaccines into your children. Well, I guess from a genetic standpoint, evolutionary standpoint, if you want to talk about it that way, you know, it's survival of the fittest or maybe survival of the smartest with this.
I mean, and I'm not going to get into all things with natural selection.
Yeah, but gee.
Yeah, I mean, after a while, you start asking yourself the question. I stopped by a real good friend's house the other night. They got two kids. Her husband's a sheriff. Great people. Hung out with the kids over there for a while. And we got on the topics of vaccines. And she's like diametrically opposed to vaccines now. After what she's seen, what she's learned, I'm not going to go into detail on all of it. But the thing about this is, when you actually start doing even a minuscule amount of research on it, if you don't at least question it and go, maybe I need to kind of put the brakes and ask, why is everybody in that industry so aggressive at trying to force my children to have injections, including the fact now to understand the COVID-19 RNA gene therapy shot is on the 6-month shot schedule with the CDC still currently right now. It's not been pulled off yet. This shot was going to have a black box warning put on it by the FDA 2 weeks ago. Then all of a sudden the FDA commissioner came out and said, oh, by the way, we're not doing that. We were never going to do that. That's fake news. We wouldn't do that.
It wasn't fake news.
It wasn't fake news. They were going to do that. Multiple people inside the FDA voted on it. Black box warning. Going back to the grocery stores, though, this is an article that's talking about Instacart is scrapping the variable pricing experiment, but it also goes into detail here and talking about how the major companies now that are all backed by BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard pretty much have cornered the market with the manufacturers and the food processors. And what now's happened is their prices have gone up, so a lot of the grocery stores have seen a price increase on their an amount. And then what they have learned now is the pricing increase that they are allowed to put in, because they know what they want, is being slowly absorbed because people are basically accepting it under the tariff clause. The vast majority of food has not gone up significantly with tariffs at all. The vast majority of food has flattened out now. However, you've seen prices. They said on average groceries have gone up 56% over the last 4 years.
That's about right.
56%. Well, that's about right.
Well, I told you a few weeks ago, we went over and bought a bag of groceries. I had a friend of mine with me.
Yeah.
We bought a bag of groceries at Publix, and we walked out. I looked at it. It was $170 or $60 or whatever, and I forgot the number, and it was like a little bag. And I finally said, look, we're not doing this.
Yep.
And we decided to go to Costco or Sam's. You say, well, you're promoting Costco or Sam's? No, I'm just telling you what I did. And I went inside, and I said, I need a refund of this whole bag. I said, this is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I mean, how did this even happen? And that's where we find groceries now. And, you know, same thing with Target. You know, Target was jacking prices up, and they went with the DEI initiative. They had to do all this stuff. And now the other day, I went to Target begrudgingly, and I couldn't move all the empty shelves.
Oh, yeah.
Target's in trouble. Target's in big trouble.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and you know what it is? When you come in and you're diametrically opposed to what consumers want, and you start putting DEI clothes out there and basically gender-neutral clothes and have full clothing lines like this, you know, Celine Dion was even promoting this crap. And all of a sudden, people got walking in and go, say, you know what? I'm going to vote with my dollar. I'm leaving.
There you go.
And I remember I told Sharon when she was still alive, you know, when Target started that letting little boys use little girls' bathrooms, letting full-grown men use little girls' bathrooms, I said, we're done. We're not going there anymore. And we told you guys then on this show, boycott Target. We've had enough. And you think, well, did you really do that? We really did that. And now Target's in trouble, Austin.
Oh, yeah.
Because it only takes a little bit of time before, when massive groups of people start boycotting you, that you're going to find out real, real quick that you can't pay your bills. And now Target doesn't have the stuff on the shelves anymore.
No, and look what Cracker Barrel did. I mean, that was just a...
You know, I've seen Boondoggles before, but I've never
that
seen
was...
like that.
That was something crazy. And going back to this,
and their parking lots are still empty.
I know. Well, they haven't recovered.
No.
I went by the one in Lakeland the other day. I stopped by after church. Just drove by. There's one right by the church. I just kind of circled around. I'm talking 1 o'clock on Sunday.
It used to be packed.
That was like, especially for people in like some of the older churches. I mean, Cracker Barrel was it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where everybody went. It was the happening place right there in Lakeland. It's the slow place now. And that's just what happens. What happened now is Instacart, which does a lot of the online food ordering, they put a variable pricing experiment which I understand this because a lot of companies have experimented with this now. The problem is in some cases it doesn't go very well, especially when you already have hyperinflated groceries. So they went in now and they would have certain timelines at peak times. They would do their AI algorithm and they would increase the prices on the products and the produce and the different food and Instacart on their online app at certain peak hours. So they knew, same thing American Airlines has been doing, all the airline companies have been doing. So they go in and say, well, we know most people are putting in their Instacart orders between 4 and 6 p.m. Just give a number out. So now we're going to raise all the prices on the Instacart app by 15% from that time frame. Well, so everybody started looking at it going, why is it if I buy a gallon of milk, it's $4 on, you know, Friday morning. If I buy a gallon of milk on Friday evening, it goes to $6. What's going on? And so everybody started realizing what's happening now. And they said it was massively inflating grocery bills. And here's the problem I have with this entire thing. Food has an inelastic demand curve. People have to eat. This going on now in these grocery stores continuing to gouge people and gouge people and gouge people and push their prices higher and higher and higher on a staple that people have to consume in order to stay alive is very irritating to me because most time these companies are already making enormous profits. Publix, which pretty much has a monopoly in Central Florida. Great company. Love what they do. Love their stock program. Love their employees. They're great. Super nice store. They made $4.5 billion in net profit last year in 2024. The year before that, they made $2.2 billion. They doubled their net profit 1 year over date, and 2025 is supposed to be even higher. This isn't because they're giving consumers great prices. It's because they're intentionally price gouging, and they're increasing to push their prices up higher and higher and higher.
What they're doing is they're basically looking at what the market will bear.
That's exactly right.
And the problem, and I was talking to a friend of mine the other day about this. The reason Publix can do this is because they're so convenient to get to. When I go to Costco, it's a 40-minute drive.
Yeah.
When I drive to Sam's, it's a 30-minute drive. And when I drive to Publix, it's a 4-minute drive.
Yeah.
And so what you're doing, you're paying for convenience. You're paying for the great employees. You're paying for a stock shelf. You're paying for all this stuff.
It's a good company. I'm not knocking
them. No, I'm not either.
The quality of what they provided is great. The problem is that when you're starting to see the profit, it's like, and I'm not against profit. I'm not against companies making a good amount of money. What I am against is when people are already having a very difficult time even trying to buy food, and you continually keep raising your prices, even though your prices haven't increased. That's what I disagree with. That's the problem that I have on that. You guys know I have eaten price increase at Health Masters for the last 3 years.
Oh, we have.
I finally had to raise some prices the end of this year because my cost has gotten so much. It's like, oh, we're another 10% price increase, another 5% price increase. Well, it doesn't sound like that much at a time. Well, after 3 years, when your price has gone up 15, 20%, I've raised prices zero, and I'm operating on a 30% margin. Now I got a 10% margin, and I got to pay staff, and I got to pay shipping, and I got to pay inventory. And it's like, whoa, that's great. We're not making any money on this product. In fact, this product, we're basically costing us to sell it.
We've actually gotten rid of products now.
I have. I've had to get rid of certain products because it's just there's no ability to even turn a profit even when I sell them, and I'm not going to start selling stuff that I continually have to mark up.
We had one product that we were selling, and there aren't that many people sell it anymore. And I talked to the manufacturer the other day, the owner of the company. He said, well, you guys are the only people that are out there selling our product besides our website. That's because the margins were there.
That's exactly right.
When you're operating on a 30% margin, which is what we do at Health Masters, then you got to remember that's before income tax.
No, oh, yeah.
Okay. So now that's before payroll. When you operate at that, you don't realize how much you have to sell in order to pay the bills. It's like any company. Somebody's got to take the trash out. Somebody's got to clean the house. Somebody's got to clean the office. Somebody's got to
pay the insurance.
There's all these hidden factors that they don't really bother to tell you about when you're in business school. When you get out in the real world, you're like, well, nobody told me that I had to pay for trash pickup. Where'd that come from? You know, and so all of a sudden you start looking at all these numbers. You're like, well, that's all coming right off the bottom line. And then when you get a massive price increase.
There you go. It's done.
We had another company. They brought in a guy who basically liked to breathe free air. Just thought I'd mention that. He was a CFO. He jacked up everything. About destroyed the company.
Oh, yeah.
They were losing hand. And we finally said, you know, we can't do this. We can't absorb this. You guys aren't having this kind of price increase. You're just gouging everybody. Yeah. And so we started going and getting our products made from other high-quality manufacturers. But you got to realize that you, as a business person, you have to look at the numbers. You can't just pretend like it's going to be okay.
It'll work itself out. Don't worry about it.
I've seen that. Oh, don't worry about that. So you're losing all this money on shipping every month. It's actually making you have no profit. Well, it'll be okay. It'll work itself out. No, it'll work itself out in bankruptcy quarter. Look at Porsche. Their profit is down 99% because that idiot Taycan car they came out with.
I mean,
we drove that thing three, 4 years ago. I mean, we went over there. I said, I don't like this car at all. This is awful.
You understand that they were putting addendums on that car when it came out? They were putting $20,000, $30,000 addendums on that EV. over sticker.
Well, they're trying to get their R&D costs back.
Exactly.
And a lot of that was coming back to the dealerships directly. Oh, by the way, I'm going to cover this, if you don't mind, Austin. Let's just change topics for a second. I'm going to go esoteric.
Oh, boy.
Esoteric for a second. The revolutionary discoveries of Petrov, Galerith, and Vladimir Popadine in genetics. And this is a very interesting concept here. And they're saying that sound and frequency and words can change human DNA.
Interesting.
They did studies on this. It said Russian scientists have overturned conventional knowledge about genetics, demonstrating that DNA can be modified through words and specific frequencies. This groundbreaking research challenges the notion that 10% of human DNA is... Research challenges the notion that only 10% of human DNA is utilized for protein construction, with the remaining 90% considered junk DNA. He's a renowned biophysicist and molecular biologist. He developed the theory of language for genetics with a leading experiment in quantum genetics. He was nominated for a Nobel Prize in 2025. DNA is a biological internet. Recent studies suggest that the human DNA functions as a biological internet system, surpassing any artificial network. They discovered that DNA holds explanations for phenomena like clairvoyance, intuition, spontaneous healing, remote self-healing, and self-healing, and the mind's influence on weather patterns. Isn't that interesting? DNA as a holographic computer. And I'm going to let you read through this. I'm not going to go into more detail on it today because I could do a whole show on this. And I've done whole shows on this topic before, and how we live in a, how should I say, holographic energy field, and our DNA is subject to the words that we speak into certain frequencies, which tell you that 5G can be incredibly dangerous with those frequencies running through your body, or 6G. They were actually able to change genetics in certain species by frequencies alone. I'm not talking about CRISPR gene editing anymore. I'm talking about just putting a certain sound through certain things. And there's another thing called somatics, and I need to play you a little video that one time, where they could actually go in and take sand. This is very, very interesting. And they could play a frequency, an audio frequency through the sand, like on a speaker cone, and it would actually change shape based on sound only. Now you think, well, that's kind of crazy. Everything that we've been taught about this planet is not right. I'm telling you that. That's why they have to use constants in physics and constants in chemistry and constants in biology in order to make things work the way they think that you should think they should work. So when you read stuff like this, you start to realize how far ahead we on this show have been for the past 10 years, and we've talked about this. So I just want to cover that with you real quick, and it'll be posted on our website as far as one of our news stories. It's called The Revolutionary Discoveries in Genetics. You guys can read through this. I posted it this morning.
This is why I have been so diametrically opposed to 5G and 6G and a lot of the topics I've told people to try to protect yourself from, including like just turning your Wi-Fi off at night. That is one of the most effective things that I have found personally and with numerous other family and customers, having sleeping issues, shutting down your Wi-Fi at night. Number 5G originally was used, here's a topic on it, as active denial systems, ADS, for non-lethal weapons using high-frequency millimeter waves at 95 gigahertz for area denial. It's higher power than 5G networks typically on systems. It's turned up. Same product, same platform. It's just at a higher scale in terms of active denial system. And so the 5G technologies were adapted for civilian usage after military commissions and command systems made them. The 5G adaption was designed to be an active denial system using high power, high frequency waves to create painful heating sensations on skin used for crowd control. The thing about this is, and this is why I brought
all frequency, guys.
It's all based on frequency, exactly what he's talking about. With active denial systems, it's just 5G technology turned way up. That's why they have to have all these towers everywhere. And again, you do the research on them. Why do you think they came in and said, you can't decline any 5G towers coming in? They've done this now with the Communications Network and the Communications Act. You can, communities, cities, I've heard them numerous times, we're put a 5G tower right beside a school. Actively diametrically opposed to that. Doesn't matter. We're doing it. We're overriding you. That is why I was so irritated the other day when Donald Trump signed executive order that basically this AI technology is going to be exempt from any state or local municipality laws. They come in and say, it doesn't matter what you want, doesn't matter what you like, doesn't matter what infrastructure you have, the AI systems based with the big tech firms can override any local governance. Meaning we're putting in a giant AI data center in some million square feet in your backyard right down the street from you. But it's going to use up all the municipal water supply. That's a you problem, guys. It's not a me problem. We're putting it in. Well, literally how they act. That's why I have such a problem with it. So, that's we'll address that.
You like that term.
Well, no.
It's a you problem, not a me problem.
But no, that's how they act, though.
I know.
That's how they act.
And no, it's true, though. And a lot of times, the problem is when you hire – there we go. I'm going to stop for 1 second. I got to be careful how I say this. And I'm not talking about local stuff. I'm talking about elections, and I'm talking about Congress now. I'm talking about people in Washington, D.C. that never represent us right. When you hire them, they become your poop-throwing monkey. I said it, didn't I? I can't even believe I even said that. Okay. Now, I'm not saying that they're all bad poop-throwing monkeys, but there's some really bad poop-throwing monkeys in Congress, like Lindsey Graham runs around with a little purse.
And local municipalities, too.
You know, I'm not going to say that here.
I'm not saying any specific region or area.
No, but when you hire a poop-throwing monkey that's going to just absolutely be only there for one reason and basically increase their net worth, and they have no interest in helping the general population in their respective areas, then you start to understand very quickly that they are now your poop-throwing monkeys. You guys remember the story. If you have a poop-throwing monkey at a zoo and he's throwing poop at everybody, he's a problem because nobody wants to get around the poop. And it's a big – I've seen signs. Beware, monkey throws poop, okay? Throws feces. And so you're like, great. So that's always a big – like they'll rope off an area. You get too close, you're going to get poop in the face.
God's official, dude. God's Monday.
I know.
Easy.
And the problem is that if you don't understand that, you're going to get poop thrown on you. And so when we put people in positions of power over us and they are poop-throwing monkeys and we get mad because they're throwing poop, we knew they were a poop-throwing monkey to start with, but yet we put them in there. Well, all politicians are poop-throwing monkies.
Not all of them.
A lot of them. Okay, a lot of them are. You know, and Green basically now has come out. They did another interview with her, and they told her, she said, I had no idea how messed up Washington was. I had no idea how weird it was in Washington. And, you know, and so she's talking now about her days in Washington and why she walked away like she did. And she said she had no idea how corrupt it was. And I believe her.
I do too. I've heard that numerous times from people that have been up
because
there.
Because when you get lobbyists, she says she would not accept any money from other countries.
No, she's taking zero money from AIPAC.
Yeah, because you said AIPAC. I said other countries. And so, but you got to remember, though, when they're having the rerun for office every 24 months, they have a constant amount of money that has to come in just to maintain their campaign literature and mail outs and all the rest of it. And so they learn very quickly that they have to go where the money is.
Well, it's speaking of poop-throwing monkeys, Governor Tim Walz there in Minnesota.
He even looks like a poop-throwing monkey.
He looks like an idiot.
Oh, look at this guy.
He looks like an idiot.
What the
heck? Beside the Somalians with an RPK.
Look at his eyes. He looks guns for rooks.
Well, he's in a big...
I mean, he's really nuts.
He's in a serious boondocker right now, speaking of poop-throwing monkeys, because they've federal prosecutors now have gotten involved in a scheme that's totaling at least $9 billion in losses that have gone to... essentially, Somalian-linked groups through daycares. This is a giant bombshell video that came out
of the weekend. Billions now?
Billions now. This thing is getting bigger and bigger. They've already uncovered $110 million in fraud payments, essentially, to Somali-owned businesses. They said part of the broader welfare fraud scandals totaling up to $9 billion now. They even went to these places. Quality Learning Center. They didn't even spell learning right. It's Learning Center. They missed the N.
Well, maybe they like the Lear.
License for 99 children received $4 million over the last 2 years. Signs misspells learning. No visible children. Doors locked. No playground. Nobody present. Multiple times. $2 billion a year they're getting in Minnesota funds. $2 million a year. Future Leaders Early Learning Center. License for 90 children. $6.6 million over 2 years. Facility empty. Staff evasive. No playground.
This is what Doge tried to prove. Improved.
So what's happened is you've got these groups now, again, these Somali-backed groups that have applied for all these federal grants through Minnesota. They're getting them. They're getting millions of dollars a year. Nobody present. Nobody there. This is what Doge came out with. They said, you guys have no idea how much fraud is going on with the federal government and how much cash is being just burnt through and all these different processes, like you said.
Well, what happens is once these AI algorithms start to figure out what they can and can't get away with, and then people start using the AI algorithms to set pricing up, there's no guarantee that you're getting a price that's even legit any longer, and you're not being targeted. Yeah. American Airlines, now they're finding out that their pilots, the international pilot guys, are making about $450 an hour.
That's about right for a pilot.
Well, they're making about $500,000 a year, and now a big article just came out in Daily Mail about it. They're blowing the whistle on American Airlines because they're paying their pilots so much money. And then I have to say this, and this is very, very important. To get a pilot license, basically aeronauts have to spend between 9 and 10 months in flight school, which is true. And it costs an estimated $100,000 of student loans, which is not true. You don't have to do that. After school, pilots must log in 1,500 hours of flight time, actually about 1,000 hours of flight time, generally in smaller airspace. And then they have to undergo a list of medical and mental health checks throughout their careers. Pilots must have near-perfect vision. That's true. Yeah. Without contact lenses, require few medications, and have no disabilities. And it's true. You know, being a pilot, I am one, is very, very costly and very, very complicated. And it takes a long, long time to become a pilot. Now, they're mad at pilots for making $500,000 a year. But I know attorneys that make billions of dollars.
And all they do is sue people. They don't even get people to a healthy destination.
I know doctors who make over $1 million a year. So, again, it goes back to what I told you guys before. If you're going to go out and get student loans, you need to look at the end results of the student loans and what the potential income is. There's a huge pilot shortage now because they hired a bunch of DEI pilots that can't fly their way out of a wet paper sack.
Here's the problem that I have with this whole thing, and I don't have a bit of problem with pilots making this much money because I have flown with you right seat many a times, and it is, and that's in a small personal plane. It is.
I was a Cessna 210. It was a nice aircraft.
Yeah, but I'm saying that was we're not a Boeing 777.
No, it was a six passenger.
Yeah. That is an extremely extensive job as far as mentally taxing to do that professionally and do that every single day, day in and day out, and get hundreds of passengers to a final destination all in one piece alive. And so what do you guys want? You want the cheapest bid? Oh, I got a guy out of Somalia that'll fly us there for $60,000 a year. Yeah. Have fun on that flight.
I remember when we had that instrument failure that time at the 210, and we lost everything.
Yeah.
And I remember I was landing the plane, and you said to me, well, are you scared? And I said, no, I'm not scared. And you said, really? I said, no, I've been trained to do this. And see, that's the problem that people don't understand is if you're a pilot, you have a tendency to scream and yell when something goes wrong. You know,
we're all going to die.
Well, over the intercom. What was that one line that was on that one movie, Don't Look Up? My grandfather died peacefully in his sleep while his passenger screamed in fear. Okay? You got to have a pilot who basically knows what he's doing and doesn't panic when something happens. Because, quite frankly, you got to learn one thing. I remember Galen taught me this. He's a professional pilot, flew one of the major airlines. He said, no matter what happens, no matter what you do, you fly the plane.
Yeah.
Even if it's a glider. If the engine quits on you, you fly the glider. You don't just panic and don't do anything. You got to fly the aircraft. And he was right.
You stink one of these. You made that analogy one time with those DEIs. You get some tranny up there. My nails are done. The engine goes out. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done. It runs in the back and sits down with everybody else. That's the pilot that you don't want for, you know, $60,000, $80,000, $100,000
a year. I remember one time I knew I had a friend of mine who had a kid who was teaching him how to drive the motorhome. And the kid didn't want to drive the motorhome. So the kid jumps up and runs to the back while he's going down the road. You think I'm joking, and I'm not, but leaving nobody in the seat. Did you hear about that one, Austin?
Yeah.
And luckily the father was up there in the front, so he jumped in the seat, you know, but the kid just ran away. You can't do that in an airplane.
No.
You're at 12,000 feet. You can't just jump out the door and say, I'm leaving. Well, I guess you could have had a parachute on.
Yeah.
Boy, that'd be
horrible. Everybody's content for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, we have one parachute I'm wearing. I got to go.
Gosh.
Have fun. Yeah, that's going to be crazy about all this. Oh, by the way, they're saying that wolves are good now because they keep deer off the highway and keep people from getting killed by running into deer. I can't really say much about that.
Wolf population's got to stay under control, but that's probably not an accurate.
But the problem is if you have wolves running around in public areas where deer are on highways, where people are, they're also going to go after your own personal livestock, your dogs,
children.
Your cats, and your children. Yeah. To me, wolves, leave them out west somewhere in the middle of nowhere,
they're part of the ecosystem, but yeah, when they start getting really aggressive towards residential areas, you got to watch out for that. Also, one last story. I'm going to cover this real quick. Another article we put together here on the website, 5-HTP and cognitive aging. This is a product that I think doesn't get near enough coverage, and we hear the 5-HTP controlled release, which is really good.
Who wrote this one?
This is Harrison wrote this.
Harrison writes good articles.
Yeah, it says, inside the study and how it was measured. I'm running out of time. We're running the clock down. I don't have time to read the article, but it's on the website, one of the newest ones we have on 5-HTP, and it goes into detail on how after 12 weeks of 5-HTP, basically participants experienced statistically significant improved overall cognitive performance.
This was not a test that was done at Health Masters. This is a generalized.
Correct. Everything's referenced down here.
Good.
You got all the references as far as in the study right here that was done in the study. And so, again, this is another reason why a lot of times, in most cases, You don't have a pharmaceutical drug deficiency. Mm-hmm. You don't have a Zoloft deficiency. I'm not saying that certain times drugs can't be beneficial, but look at other options. But this article is great on
you that. Realize how blessed we are, though, as a people right now that we have actually supplements that actually work and help.
They work.
That make things feel, make things better. And by the way, thank you for your supporting us for getting supplements that make things feel better.
we
love you guys. We'll cover this story some more in detail tomorrow. Oh, I got some more berberine back, too. I've been taking that again. I love
that. I got a fresh batch in.
And you guys are amazing. Thank you. I hope you had a good time in church over the weekend. I love you guys. I really, really appreciate you. Thanks for your support. And also, what do you have to say?
Have a fantastic evening. Thanks for joining us today. We'll talk to you again tomorrow on this show. Healthmasters.com is a place to get your subs. We appreciate you. Talk to you tomorrow.
Always keep your hearts and minds in Jesus. He's the finisher, the author, the perfecter of our faith. I love you guys. See you tomorrow.